Hello again, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin, your host. True Wealth, as always, is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service and rare coin precious metals broker, dealer, depository service. Always actively involved, engaged in buying and selling all forms of precious metals, rare coins, scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds. We do specialize in building portfolios, helping people preserve their wealth and capital in a nice, safe, biblically conservative, long-term fashion, I'd say. We're seeing some interesting activity. And by the way, the phone number 444-0044. That's your, and then toll free is 877-TAP-COIN. Or through the website, email at coinsplus.com if you have any questions. We're always here to help you. We'd love to, you know, answer questions for you, help you get some insights, whatever. We're seeing kind of, you know, crazy volatility in the markets. We saw recently, well, today, that's pretty recent, the third time the markets swung from basically tanking over 500 points to closing up 200, leaving the Dow in the 24,000 range, which to me is, you know, my opinion of the Dow is crazy. It's all over the board. We basically hit these ceilings, folks, and the market goes through these cycles over time. I've studied it so much, you'd think I was not, you know, you'd think I was insane. I've looked at it and tried to figure it out. My theory is this: there is a certain amount of dollars in existence. That amount of dollars is so excessively ridiculous. Every dollar is backed by debt. I mean, folks, the Federal Reserve System is corrupt as heck, okay? It is bad. Every last dollar that we have is backed by a dollar of debt. And that's the only way we keep this machine rolling. We're not, the problem with that system is you do not have to create wealth. You don't have to create wealth. I mean, you create this fiat rubbish, and humans by their very nature are going to create some wealth because that's what human beings do. They create wealth. You, not all of them, but you can't stop a lot of them because they're going to do it because God made them to do so, right? And so you're going to have some wealth being created. But when you're pumping the amount of money out, like we have seen over the years with the Obama thing and Trump, Trump's on the train. The Trump train's going. The Trump train's leaving the station, folks. Welcome to Debt Town. I mean, we are heading down the tracks of debt. And frankly, I don't quite know how to put this, but, you know, when someone like Obama's in office, all the conservatives are anti-debt, you know, they're anti-spending and they're, you know, they're anti-deficit. And then when we get in office and we've got all three branches, what the heck? I mean, absolutely nothing at all has changed. We've got the Fed recently raised interest rates 1 3/4%, okay, which is the highest rates have been since 2008, but it still leaves rates at historic lows. This is based on some information from Ron Paul. Still leaves interest rates at historic lows. So while the Fed says economic growth justifies future rate increases, an honest examination of the economy suggests that future rate increases are probably unlikely. The more I look into this stuff. And that's interesting because eventually you get into what's called, I mean, we are in stagflation, but we are heading deeper, deeper, deeper into stagflation. Stagflation is where the price of goods continues to increase while interest rates decrease. That's what we just went through, okay? So if you think about it, it puts you in a real pickle, okay? That's the evidence of national insolvency. It's the evidence of bankruptcy. Inflation is a hidden tax which is designed to destroy the poor and middle classes. I don't even know where to get on or off this merry-go-round of discussion. You get the left, the demos, Democrats, claiming that they're all for the poor and they're all for the middle class. And yet they're the first ones to want to see you pay higher taxes, to want to spend money like crazy. Fiat currency. And when you spend fiat currency, folks, what happens? I mean, fiat means by decree. Literally, it is no different than you sitting in your basement with a printer and just printing out monopoly money and then convincing the world that this is going to be your money now. Okay? That is exactly what our economic system is. Nothing more. You might say, oh, come on, it's more complicated than that. Well, sure it is, because the people who did this to us are far more intelligent and practiced at it, and they've perfected it, and they work together on the conspiracy. But it really boils down in a simplistic form to a bunch of people with a ton of wealth. It started out, of course, being the wealthiest of the wealthy came up with this idea of creating a system thereby which they are the sole creators of currency, and that they own these central banks. Everything gets processed through them. Everything gets cleared through them. Everything gets run through them. It's all phony. Then what happens is then the Federal Reserve owns all the banks. The way it's designed is the Federal Reserve, if you think about it, they provide all the banks all their money. So if you you borrow money from a bank, the Fed creates that money, right? And of course there's a balance of deposits and all that that takes place somewhere in there. But as the money expands, they're creating more money. So, you know, for simplistic reasons, we'll just say when you borrow money, they create that money. It goes through the local bank, gets put into the bank's bank account or into the bank's fund. Not only do they issue a check for whatever that money you borrowed was for, they give you the money. You go buy a house or a car or whatever you want. And then eventually that money that gets spent, okay, that gets created and spent, ends up back in a bank somewhere, or maybe it gets broken up into pieces. But ultimately, all of it is supposed to, keyword, supposed to end up back in a bank somewhere, okay? That's the Federal Reserve System. So when that money is supposed to end up in a bank, then they have fractional reserve banking, okay? And this gives them the ability, believe it or not, now to loan out basically a 10-to-1 ratio of the money that they have in deposits so that they can leverage 10 times the market assets as dollars in existence. Now, that's... if you think about it, we have $21 trillion deficit, $21 trillion. That's a lot, okay? Every dollar of that has been created out of thin air. It's been borrowed, and it's been loaned out through the banks, okay? Then that money, as it gets loaned out at interest, mind you, it gets spent somewhere. please understand, eventually all those dollars settle in the bank. There's always movement and all that. That's why banks use average daily balances and all that we won't get into. But now that money that is created by the Fed and literally on its way down the, you know, the waterfall to you and I, it goes through about 14 different bank hands or more, or maybe 20. It's unbelievable when you see the list. All these bonds are created and all these loans and fees get paid. And there's all these banks along the way that make these incredible little fees on massive amounts of money. And as this takes place, these banks get richer and richer and richer. And then that money goes down, it finds its way in it on an average basis. The average daily balance of banks slowly over time grows slowly, like $1 trillion every 3 months. I guess that's not too slow. No, it's more like $1 trillion every 4 months. But so as that grows and grows and grows, it gives the banks the ability to loan 10 times that. It's actually a 9-to-1 fractional system, which creates a 10 times loan basis. So $21 trillion in deficit means they can loan if the funds get deposited in U.S. central banks, they can loan about 9 times that, which 9 times 21 trillion is about $189 trillion. Now, I kept saying if, or I kept explaining supposed to end up in a bank, and if it ends up in the bank, then the system works like this. Well, we've got a couple different situations that have affected this to a degree. One of them is what we talk about on the show, true wealth, hard assets, okay? Anything that removes that money from the system. So if I take $1,000 and I go buy silver and I park that silver in my house, I have effectually removed that money from the system. I can give you a number of reasons why they don't like that. Number one, it takes money out of the system. So let's say I spent $1,000 on silver. That actually removes $9,000 worth of lending power from the central banking system. Not only that, they lose control of my money. They don't know where it is. They don't know what I'm doing with it. They can't control it. They can't inflate it. They can't hide it. They can't confiscate it if the IRS comes after me. If an attorney sues me for some weird liability reasons, they can't confiscate it. They can't take it away. You know what I'm saying? The only threat to hard assets, and I'll be honest, is theft. Now, you might think, oh, well, gee, that's just an awfully big risk, Kevin. Oh, really? How many people do you think over the years that I have seen get robbed, first of all, in our business? Very, very few. Most of you are very smart. Most of our clients that have very substantial amounts of metals either used our AA plus rated depository service, which is over the top secure, ridiculous, more secure than any bank that's been built in the last 40 years in the area. Or they get their own vault and anchor bolt it to a solid surface. Okay, now, there's a lot of good vaults in the world, and I'm not going to do a radio show on the differences between TL-30 and TL-45 and UL-rated vaults. But I'll just tell you, if your vault's a Liberty and it's UL-rated, it keeps the honest honest. But if someone comes in there with real tools to go to real work, you're not going to stop them in a very short period of time. They'll get into it. If you have you know, there's all kinds of vault levels you can go to. But if you get a TL rated, tool rated vault, they basically take that vault, they test it in an absolute perfect environment, like a warehouse, where you get like all these guys have huge tools, big saws, big diamond tip drill bits, jackhammers, everything. And then they time them and say go. And then they work their tail off to get into this safe. Now, remember, this is a perfect environment when they test these. These guys don't have to worry about cops, alarms, nothing. Their job is to work as hard and fast as they can to get into that safe. Okay. Now, if it's to be TL-30 rated, it means it takes them 30 minutes. Now, that's a long time. When you compare the difference from somebody being in a great big warehouse or a room with every tool they could imagine, not having to worry about noise, not have to worry about cops or alarms or people coming home or anybody on the lookout at all. Their only job is to willfully just go to town with heavy-duty equipment to see how fast they can get in that safe. And yet that safe still keeps them out for over 30 minutes. That's a good safe. If it's TL-45 or TL-60, obviously it's more. There's TL and TC ratings, which has to do with heat, and tool resistance, which is fine. If you get into the T rated, you're into real serious stuff. Some of them are T15, even T15's tough stuff. UL rated just means the underwriter's laboratory said, yeah, this is a safe. That's all they said. They looked at it and said, looks like a safe to me. Look like a safe to you. Yep. And then they might bang on it a little here and there, and they say, well, it looks decent, and there's no rating there. So when you go buy your Liberty safes or your Cabela safes or whatever, you've got good gun safes. You're going to keep the honest people honest. But if anybody ever enters your home with the real equipment ready to roll and you've got masses of wealth there, it's possible that you're going to have a bad day. So that's that. But, theft has been the only thing that threatens our product because it's true wealth. It's liquid. It's anonymous. It's transportable. It's immediate cash anywhere in the world at any time. And that is that. It is just what it is. It's the way God made it. It's perfect. It's simple. It doesn't rely on anybody else's truth or lies or support or unsupport. It just is what it is. So that's the main thing, I think, what I'm trying to get at. It says, while the Fed says that, economic growth says there's going to be future rate increases, I think that we're seeing money coming back from overseas. I said there's two basic threats, and there may be more. But the two that are on the top of my mind was, number one, hard assets. When you buy hard assets, you remove yourself from the system. You technically hurt the system a little bit because you're not playing by their rules. Now, don't let that hurt your feelings. So you say, gee, I feel really bad. Kevin said I'm hurting the system. I'm going to go sell all my gold and silver now and go buy stocks so I can feel better about myself. I hope you're smarter than that. But it does hurt or detract from the system when you have your money off the grid the way God intended, by the way. It's exactly how I believe it. I don't believe it. I know it. You go back through all the history. It's just like the logic. This is a weird logic mix, but it's kind of like God made precious metals and he made assets. He designed into us a desire for them. He gave us the desire to grow and to build and accumulate and to improve and to create. He just did that to us or for us. That's how he created us, okay? It's who we are. And yet we are now being forced to be told, no, you're not that way. You're a socialist. You don't have a desire to excel beyond any certain level. And you don't want to see anybody else excel. You just care about yourself and you want free handouts and you deserve it. And this is what is the problem with socialism, is it's completely contradictory, contrary to human nature. So it's, you know, it's the opposite of what the system is. Bottom line is, folks, when you have your money, your wealth in hard assets, you are where God intended you to be. Like I said, a weird comparative, but think of this. You got two choices. One is everybody's money is in fiat, so you say, well, shoot, I got to do what everybody's doing. You turn on the TV, everybody says to do it, to do it, to do it. You got to invest. You get guys that are called financial advisors. I'm a financial advisor. You know, a lot of times these are people that are literally out of, you know, the wilderness, and they go get a license, and, you know, a lot of them are selling the annuities, which I've talked so much about, are terrible. Please, whatever you do, don't get annuities or variable annuities. Don't buy into the argument that, well, it'll pay out. Folks, it is the dumbest thing. It doesn't matter if you can set it up or annuitize it to pay you. What matters is how much it pays you, how secure it is, and over what period of time it pays you, what your total payback is, okay? The crazy stinking thing about it is people will literally put, I've seen this where a woman, I actually saw this, a woman who was 74 years old put $2 million into an annuity, and the salesman sold her one with no death benefit. Think of this. I mean, she's already older and she dies and her son goes to collect, and guess what? There's no death benefit. All that money got sucked up by the insurance company. The salesman sold her that so he could get the biggest, fattest possible commission imaginable. It's the insurance company knowing that the mortality tables are way in their favor, knowing they're taking all your money and hoping that you do die and planning on making it all theirs. That's not an investment. There shouldn't even be that option built into it, any kind of quote investment. Why should there be any option that says, oh, if you die, you lose all your money? No. The bottom line is it's your money. Okay, the point is you're trying to preserve and protect it. It's called wealth and capital preservation for a reason. You're trying to preserve and protect it the way God tells you to as a good steward. You're trying to save your money. You want it to grow within recent or reasonable levels of inflation. And inflation is being driven right now. Trump is trying to do it. He's trying to bring home overseas money, overseas dollars that, you know, are stranded over there due to our ridiculously high corporate tax rates for these companies to pull their money back. So now he's making this situation where they can pull their money back, which is pretty cool, at a lot better rate of interest or taxation, which is 11%, which is also cool. And it's necessary to pull this money back into our economy because we need it. But what we really need to do is learn self-discipline. I believed years back when Obama got in office, I used to say, we're going to have to tighten up our belts. We're going to have to buckle down. You know, we're in a fiat currency frenzy. We're still paying the price from Bill Clinton, and then, of course, Bush came in, and Bush had 9/11 hit right away, which is a farce in and of itself. It's a fallacy. There's so many unanswered questions, and if you ever say anything against it, a lot of people say, oh, you're a conspiracy fanatic. The buildings really did go down, and yeah, they definitely went down. There's no argument about that. It's just who was behind it, how long did they know, how did they put it together. There's so much fishy business there, and I need to cover that again in a show, but you guess what? You don't always have time. So the basic threats, like I said, towards our fiat economic currency system created by John Maynard Keynes, who said that it is designed as a form of wealth confiscation. He said inflation is it's a form of wealth confiscation. It's pretty interesting that Keynes made a quote about the confiscation of wealth. I mean, it's just, folks, I wish I could even transfer to you my frustration with this, because it is so foolish. You get a man named John Maynard Keynes who creates an economic system in a competition for socialism. And he's an economics professor in who knows where. And he says, by a continuing process of inflation, okay, that's the constant increase in the money supply, a continued increase in the money supply, by a continuing process of inflation, the government can confiscate secretly and unobserved an important part of the wealth of their citizens. You hear that? By a continuing process of inflation. So this constant increase in the money supply is a secret, unobserved method for the government to confiscate an important part of your wealth. No accident there, designed to do that. So what has happened over time is you have become poorer and poorer and poorer, and your spending power has gone down, 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 and you don't really understand it. You don't necessarily think it. You know, the saying is, well, if you can still buy a hamburger, you just can't afford steak, then you're still doing okay. But that's not exactly what has happened over time, is it? I mean, you can buy a hamburger, but you can't buy steak anymore. What's happened? Why did it get so expensive? Where is this coming from? What have you done to deserve it? Why are you caught up in this mess? And why does nobody get it? No one wants to change. You know, I used to have an employee that used to say, none of us is as dumb as all of us. And when you get everybody together in a group and you get groupthink, consensus thinking, where everybody wants to fit into the thought process of the day. I wouldn't say everyone. There's always that anomaly that'll stand out. There's the kind of people that stand out because they have a good point to make. There's the kind that stand out because they're just weird. And there's the kind that stand out because they just disagree with everything everybody says all the time. But those three groups make up, at best, maybe 5 to 10% of the overall group as a whole. So the feds, that what's going on right now is we've got money that is starting to come back home from overseas. A lot more of it is coming. It has to come. It has to come. Because why? Because we need hyperinflation in order to keep up with the rate at which we've created this debt and deficit. We've got to have hyperinflation. Central banks control the world. Central banks may have played a major role in getting Donald J. Trump elected. Knowing that Trump would probably have a tendency to spend large amounts of money with and for the government. If you really think about it, that's what he's been doing for quite some time. He definitely can negotiate and save us some money on this piece of equipment or that group of equipment, and he's a good businessman that way. But in general, he's not looking to the real problem. He's not looking to solve the real problem. He is just looking at the system that he's been given. He's not a constitutionalist at all. He's not a fundamentalist. And a lot of these politicians, they just don't get it. And so Who knows, folks? The Fed is one troubled unit. So we've got this fractional reserve currency system where they can make more and more and more currency. You just have to keep on borrowing and keep on spending. They'll keep on being happy. The Fed's claim that the economy is strong is based on misleading government statistics. So when we're being told how strong the economy is, for example, the official unemployment rate understates true unemployment by not counting those who have given up looking for work. When people have a special set of skills or they've made a certain amount of income and they just don't want to make less, they give up, right? I mean, I remember way back in the early 90s when I moved out here and I worked for this big mortgage company that was supposed to be so great, so I was told. When I got there, I started to realize quickly they had huge problems. I couldn't get appraisers to take to do appraisals because they hadn't paid their bills. I found out they'd had like 32 unpaid bills with the title company, so I couldn't get the title work done. I walked into a storm. I'd worked for, prior to that, to Norwest Banks, which later consumed Wells Fargo, very big, you know, probably one of the best old banks that was left out there. Very similar to what American West Bank, when I was with Bank of America, I was good friends with the CEO of American West Bank, terrific Christian man, Wes Cauley. And Norwest Banks was very similar to that. And they used to have all kinds of, they really started to get aggressive with their lending practices. We started to do these 125% loan to value mortgages, where if your house was worth $100,000, they would loan you $125,000. They figured, well, we're protected against bankruptcy, they would say, but they just started to pump the money out. And they just started pushing it out. Well, that bank, which was very aggressive, obviously started that habit young, because later on, if you were in the banking industry like I was, you would have seen that everybody else started doing the same thing. And the markets started to just get saturated with this kind of lending practices, with this kind of insanity. It was pretty unbelievable to watch take place. So, like now, when they tell us that the government's doing a good job, the unofficial unemployment rate understates the unemployment by not counting those who've given up looking for work. And so what I was kind of saying there is I had a job and I went to work for this other company, and Norwest Banks that I worked for was solid as a rock, so I assumed all companies were, which was, I was still young and coming out of college. And when I went to work for this company, and then out here in Spokane, and they turned out to be a big bunch of shammers, and I ended up in a bad situation. The guy went bankrupt on like 4 months of paychecks, 3-4 months of paychecks, because when you're building a pipeline of mortgages, it takes that long sometimes to close deals and get paid. And so I remember going to this management, I don't even remember what it was called. It was executive management, some company that was supposed to help managers get employment. Well, the first thing they did is sat me down and make me watch these videos. These videos were designed to scare me, to tell me you're worth nothing. You are not an asset. You're of no value. You were overpaid in your last job and you need to just accept it. And you need to be willing to take a lower rate of pay at your next job. Well, they didn't care because they got their commission when you took a job, and that's all they cared about. They didn't care about your family's income or wages, and that's, I thought it was the path of least resistance. It was a very depressing day for me. I walked out of there very discouraged, and I prayed, and I said, no, not me, Lord, not me. I'm not going to let these kinds of people talk me down and convince me that I'm worth half of what I was making before, just so they can get a commission. But, and then I didn't quit praying and I didn't quit looking. And then, you know, for a period of time, I was in the car business as a business manager just because I had to make a living to feed my family. And I was there for a period of time until I got back into banking. But I've seen so many people that get discouraged, and I felt like I had no choice. I loved my credit. I wanted perfect credit. I never wanted a problem. I didn't want banks to ever know I'd had any troubles whatsoever. My credit goes back to the mid-80s. It's clean. We've never had a 30-day late or anything like that. We've always kept it crystal clean. And that's, you know, good, I think. But the bottom line is a lot of people in that same situation would have thrown in the towel, I think, and given up hope. Those people would be removed from the unemployment roster. And it only takes 3 or 4 weeks. If you haven't had an active interview or an active application in the last 3 weeks, you are removed from the unemployment roster. So when people say they're unemployed, when we get statistics on who's unemployed, the official unemployment rate, it is understating the true unemployment because it doesn't count those who've technically given up looking for work. According to John Williams of Shadow Government Statistics, the real unemployment rate is about 20%. 1 out of 5 Americans is truly unemployed. They want a job. They need a certain amount of income to get by. There is a percentage of people in there, folks, that are there strictly because our welfare programs pay so high. They make it lucrative to be unemployed. You can live well in a nice apartment. I mean, you can live a good life on welfare if you know how to work the system, especially if you have kids. I saw a show a while ago about a gal who was single. She had like 3 or 4 kids. She didn't even have a job, and she was getting paid for free daycare 3 days a week so she could go hang out with her friends. She had free housing, free food, a vehicle, whatever you call it, stipend, literally a van. They got her a van. And when they counted her benefits on, when you counted everything she had in, it was the equivalent of making $80,000 a year. Well, who the heck can make 80 grand a year, you know, anyway? And especially as a single mother. I mean, folks, we cannot make, first of all, welfare a profitable or lifestyle choice. Welfare was supposed to be a trampoline. It was supposed to be a trampoline, not a hammock, okay? It was supposed to be something that got you bouncing and got you going and to get back out there through the tough times. It was, you know, it was created during the Great Depression. That's what welfare was for, not a lifestyle. Now we have multi-generational cultures that have lived on this. They're such deadbeats, they can't even make their own bed. They can't even cook their own food. They can't even clean their own house. And folks, that's sad, isn't it? I mean, that we've created this monster ourselves. And the left gets all this pressure from one another that how dare any of them ever question anything about anybody or any program or any special interest group. I mean, there is no way that every single person who's a Democrat can think the same way, but they do. They don't understand we cannot just give out free money, but this is all part of the system in order for it to work. So basically, according to John Williams of Shadow Government Statistics, the real unemployment rate is above 20%. Government figures also understate the rate of inflation by pretending that you are not negatively impacted by inflation if you can still buy hamburger but cannot afford steak. Shadow Stats, which is a company that does real statistics, not fake government lies, estimates that the real rate of inflation is as much as 4 times higher than the official rate. Well, the official rate right now is, I don't know, 2%, say. So they're saying real inflation's 8%. That makes sense to me. I mean, that's what's going on. Your dollar's just being consumed. And you think that you've got it in stocks and bonds and mutual funds and annuities and all these things in your 401k and your IRA, and you're not paying taxes and you're postponing your taxes and you're deferring your taxes. Folks, 401ks and IRAs are a ripoff. All they do is make you put your money away and not pay taxes today because you're going to pay it tomorrow. And when you pay it tomorrow, it's going to be higher because it's going to be all under income tax. If you save the money today, if you make $1,000 today and you pay the income tax on it, and you put it in an investment and then save up years later, you have hundreds of thousands of dollars and you cash that out, you're going to pay a capital gains tax minus the taxes you've already paid. So you'll end up paying like 15% or 13% or whatever it is now. But if you leave it in an income tax bracket, like, and you end up with hundreds of thousands of dollars, you're going to end up paying like 40 to 50%. Not to mention, if you ever need your money early, 87% of Americans take all or part of their money out of their 401k or IRA before the maturation period and to avoid the penalty. So they have a 10% penalty built in. If you happen to need your money and take it out early, and sure, for a while they were saying during the economic collapse, well, if you have desperate needs and you've got all this, we can waive it. And then you're supposed to fill out all this paperwork and all this stuff. And I watched people do it, and they never waived it. They never did. Everybody always ended up paying it. So it doesn't matter. So what they're saying now is if you can eat, you know, you haven't been affected by inflation, which is wrong. It isn't. It's not a matter. They need to go apples for apples. They don't say, well, you know, 20 years ago you could have afforded a Cadillac, but you can still afford a Chevy Cavalier, so you really haven't suffered. You know, they try to say it's a car or it's a bike, or instead of looking at actual products, like the number one, they used to do like the number one selling product for each category every year. That's the better way to test it out. You know, the government figures understate the rate of inflation. Like I said, they pretend that you're not negatively impacted if you can still buy hamburger when you can't afford steak. And Shadow Stats estimates the real rate of inflation as much as 4 times higher than the official rate. President Trump's tariffs. Okay, now this is Ron Paul's opinion. And he's probably right. He's a smart guy. He says, according to Ron Paul, President Trump's tariffs are going to further weaken our economy. He says, while export-driven industries, including manufacturers that rely on imported materials, will be particularly hard hit, the tariffs combined with the inevitable retaliation from other countries will impact all sectors of the economy. A global trade war could also lead to other countries to stop buying U.S. debt instruments, which would increase pressure on the Fed to keep rates low. Well, guess what? He wrote that article, and today China came out and said that they're putting out retaliation tariffs, just like Ron Paul predicted. A global trade war will lead other countries to stop buying our debt instruments. That's a problem. China holds so much of our debt, it's not even funny. Huge amounts of it. Unbelievable amounts of our debt. Now, Ron Paul is saying that a global trade war can also lead other countries to stop buying our debt instruments. That's our bonds, etc. which increases pressure on the Fed to keep rates low, mainly because of supply and demand. If there's no demand, that increases the supply and you have to lower the price. Since Republicans have held control of the White House and Congress over the last year, federal spending has increased 12.9%. Okay? This is not what we signed up for. Clearly, those in Congress serious about reducing government spending are very few and far between. And if they do stick their head out, they get it whacked. The sad fact is that both major parties, Democrats and Republicans alike, are happy to increase welfare and warfare spending. Although many Republicans pretend to oppose deficits, when a Democrat sits in the White House, it's okay. I read my sentence wrong there. So the sad fact is that both major parties are happy to increase the welfare and warfare spending, although many Republicans pretend to oppose deficits when a Democrat sits in the White House. So there's a couple different, I'll finish the paragraph here. This puts tremendous pressure on the Fed to keep rates low so as not to increase the federal government's already high interest payments. Okay, so the fact is, the Republicans are spending money like crazy. It used to be welfare, warfare. It used to be the left was for welfare, the right was for warfare, okay? In other words, the conservatives wanted big defense budgets and the left wanted welfare, and they'd argue and fight it out. Now they're both welfare, warfare. They're both war hawks. I mean, we're in a weird spot, folks. I'll just tell you that, okay? And then it goes on, the Republicans pretend to oppose deficits when the Democrats in the White House, but then when they're in, they're spendthrifts. They're crazy. We're spending money like crazy. Well, that puts more pressure on the Fed to keep rates low so as not to increase federal government's already high interest payments, which you got to remember, we owe interest on all this stuff, folks. Fortunately, more Americans are becoming aware of the freedom philosophy, okay, that's this libertarian mindset, and demanding that the government roll back the welfare warfare state and rein in the Fed, which is an absolute train wreck. The Fed, the whole fiat currency system is at the core of this huge mess. Many are also demanding protection on their right to opt out, not just from government programs like Obamacare, but also from the Federal Reserve System. For example, Wyoming recently joined Arizona in passing a law recognizing gold and silver as legal tender. Citizens of these states are now able to protect themselves from the coming dollar crisis by using what has historically been considered real money. So now they're passing laws. They're saying, look, it's not fair that the Fed is basically breaking the Constitution and the Coinage Act of 1792 and saying you will use our banknotes, you will do it the way we say, and you cannot count gold and silver. Well, they tried that. You can always count whatever you want as money and barter. But what the problem is they need to start to issue coinage again, legal tender coinage. And I think we're seeing more and more of a trend this way. And the bottom line is, folks, with all this stuff we're talking about, you always have the ability to own hard assets, and you should. Folks, you need to disconnect yourself from all of this, okay? I don't care what your situation is. If you need to get to a point where you need a certain amount of money to live on every month for retirement, that is fine. We will do that. We do that for people all the time. There are brokers come up with all these dumb sayings. Well, you want to own stock because companies produce something. Gold and silver doesn't produce anything. I mean, how dumb is that? I mean, you really think that you wouldn't want a great, big, fat, beautiful piece of real estate on Lake Tahoe? Would you rather own that or a shoe repair shop? I'll take the beautiful piece of real estate on Lake Tahoe. Now, you might go, well, Lake Tahoe real estate doesn't produce income and pay dividends. Well, sure it does. You can go get a, you can go borrow money against it if you want. You can sell off little pieces of it if you want. It's an asset. It's the real deal. It's always going to be here. How many businesses over the years, how, you know, since 1950, I don't know what it was, like 58, in like 2008, in 50 years, like almost every single stock that had ever been on the Dow was gone, bankrupt. I think it was three times over. And, you know, all these Kiplinger's magazines that have their gold picks, if you'd have followed their advice, you'd have gone bankrupt 2.5 times. I mean, but precious metals and hard assets and coins, folks, you should see what it's like to stand at the counter and buy old investment portfolios that people put together in the 50s and 60s and 70s. It is a delight. You're sitting there looking at this like going, wow, that's inflation. That guy paid $7.50 for this Mint State 65 museum quality gem, Walking Liberty half dollar. He paid $7.50 and now it's worth $200, okay, or $225 or whatever. We see this every day, every day. And we see people come in with big boxes of old stock certificates and go, are these worth anything? And we check them. Nope, company went bankrupt. Sorry. But, you know, why not just do what God says? It's simple. Many Americans are becoming aware of the freedom philosophy. They're demanding the government, you know, back the welfare, roll back the welfare warfare. I explained that basically there, people are wanting real money. They know there's a problem. At the federal level, the movement to audit the Fed remains strong. This has been Ron Paul's thing. Auditing the Fed, he just wants everybody to realize we've been ripped off. We've been robbed. All of our money's gone. It's stolen. There's nothing left. It's all gone into the hands of the richest of the rich on earth. And we've got nothing. Nothing, folks, nothing. You've got a big wad of paper. Just as long as you and I agree that's good to go, it's good to go. But it will not last. I have discussed over and over and over and over and over the inflation. It is hitting me, convicting me deeply now. Deep. I've been doing this a long time. I'm like an old bottle of wine. I'm seasoned, okay? I get it. I get it. And I know I've seen this happen, folks. I don't care what you have for savings. I don't care. If you're putting it away and you're forgetting about it, I mean, if you need cash in the bank to go buy bills and go, you know, don't worry about it. People say, well, how much money should I leave in the bank? Well, I don't know. You know, it depends on what you need. Leave a few months reserves or whatever, but let us build you a portfolio and just park it. Values right now are terrific. Everybody's going on this crazy frenzy. I think it's all designed to distract. All this noise and chaos around Trump, nobody even pays attention to the economy anymore. They tell us the economy is doing great and housing starts just dropped and hit the lowest point since 2005, but they can't explain why. Housing inventories have collapsed. Why is that? Why do you think there's no houses left? Why do you think the middle and lower and middle end homes in America have gone through the roof and become unaffordable? It's called inflation. It's because we're hyperinflating. You can't afford to build a house. Okay, so you say, fine, so the market balances. No, it doesn't. Because the working man is being ripped off. The person with savings is being ripped off. The only people that have had the longest bull run in financial market history are those with precious metals-based assets, coins, gold, silver, etc. They have outperformed everything for like 50-some years since we left the gold standard in 71. Nothing has touched it. Nothing has kept up with it. The Dow will go rallying up and it'll come crashing back down. It'll be the same old thing over and over and over, not counting. It's an artificial index because they're removing and replacing stocks and they're using weighted moving averages. And I've got young kids that are investing with me. They're all freaked out because all their friends think they're so sophisticated. It's no different than 20 years ago when everybody was a day trader and the dot-com craze was going crazy. And I did a show the other day called Dot-com Deja Vu. Why? Because it's the same old thing. It's backed by nothing. It's driven by nothing. It's nothing but hype. It's just air. It's where all the money rushes to. So they've got to create more and more and more dollars to keep spinning this thing up. It's full of nothing but hot air. Okay? So just understand. Americans are becoming aware of this. They get at the federal level, the movement taught at the Fed remains strong, as Ron Paul says, as the failures of the Keynesian economic system are becoming more apparent. People are getting it. The movement to audit and end the Fed will grow in size and strength. Hopefully, this movement will ensure the end of the welfare warfare state and the fiat currency system, as well as lead to a new era of liberty. Okay, here's the problem. Ron Paul thinks that everyone, that one option, and he's right, one option in all of this is the fact that people can figure it all out, and one day we're going to get off of this system. We're going to get away from this Keynesian economic system and back to the, or back off the Fed and back to gold and silver. I think the government powers are too big. I think you go all the way back to the 60s when Kennedy was going to end the Fed, and what happened? He got assassinated. Folks, it's simple. Knowing all this is great. It's truth. It's knowledge. It's true wealth. You got to know. But in simplicity, you, the listener out there, I don't care if it's your 401k or your IRA. Give us a call. I swear to you, it's the simplest process. Mike handles 401ks and IRAs. He's beautiful at it. Get out of the junk you're in. Stop being lazy. Stop procrastinating. Well, I should have bought when it was this price, or I could have bought when it was that. I wish I would have did that. I did this one time, and it turned out like that. And my Uncle Fred says this, and my Aunt Sally, and my friend doesn't do it, and my friend thinks I'm crazy, and I can't convince my broker, and my banker doesn't agree with me. Just forget all that. Quit all that. That's pretty pathetic when you've got one God and one Bible and one truth. What in the world are you going to follow? Do you do that with everything else? Do you follow God and the Bible, or do you follow your neighbor and your friend? You know, and we know what we need to do. Give Coins Plus a call, 444-0044, or toll free 877-TAP-COIN. Give us a call. Let us get that money transferred over. Any amount is good. Just, you can bring in a check. We'll build your portfolio. It'll perform like nothing you've ever had. Take care. God bless. Be back Friday. Bye-bye.